The music of Christmas is so wonderful. And if we pay attention to the words of the traditional Christmas carols, they go way beyond the birth of Jesus with such rich theology. And I love the song that the youth group sang, "How can I keep from shouting his name?" The name of Jesus is glorified in these Christmas songs. And how wonderful from the youngest, those who are barely able to even just stand up here, through to the children, and then our young men and women, all praising and lifting the name of Jesus, for he is worthy of praise. And at the conclusion of the message, the adult choir will sing. So everyone has had the opportunity today to lift up the name of Jesus. In Sunday school as children, we learned the song, "Fairest Lord Jesus." Remember singing that song? "Ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man the Son," just exalting his name. And in this day, I would like to preach about the name of Jesus. Let's begin with a prayer. Our dear Father in heaven, we're so thankful that we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, and that at this time of year, the attention of the world goes to Christmas. And even though there's commercialization and many other distractions, the name of Jesus and of Christ and of Christmas is lifted up, and we're thankful for that. Father, we pray that you would open our hearts to your word, that each one of us would consider the significance of Jesus and his name, that name above all names, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're so thankful for your word. Lord, we ask you to open it this morning. We pray that everything that we say and do in this name would glorify the name of Jesus and bring honor and glory to your name. For in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. What's in a name? Is somebody's given name significant? Does every name given to somebody have meaning? Does your name or my name or does a name change the world? Just because somebody has a given name, does that obligate us to something? You know, in modern times, in the days we live, generally not. Names really aren't that significant. We pick names for our children because they sound good or they're trendy, or maybe because they're not trendy, they're unique, or it's a name we've always liked. If you want to have some fun, go out to the Social Security Administration's website and look at their database of names. You can go all the way back to 1879 and see the most popular names year by year. You can even put your name in there and see historically what's the rank of given names in a particular year. It's interesting that the name Jesus or Jesus in the United States of America ranges from 60 to in the 300s on an annual basis as a given name. There's many other interesting things too. When we were expecting, it was so fun for us to buy the book of baby names, 10,000 baby names, and just go through that and just, what about this? What about that? Nobody buys those kind of books. You can just Google it now and I'm sure pick out some names. Sometimes though, names are given because of their significance. Maybe a family name, something in our family's history. Some give it because of religious names or it's a good biblical name. Sometimes names become really significant after the fact. A given name is associated with something. It was different in biblical times. Names meant something in the Bible. They mean something. There's rarely a name in the Bible that doesn't have some meaning. And very often that meaning is associated with a type of animal or a plant, a geographical description. something to do with that's precious, the quality of a person, a historical event, maybe some prophetic name. It's an indicator of character, function, or destiny. A biblical name is an indicator of character, function, or destiny. Very often, a son was given a name that had a surname of Bar or Ben. Remember, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah. That's what Bar means. Or Ben means son of. So Ben-Hadad, son of Hadad. Bathsheba, the name Bath means daughter of. So whenever you see in the Bible Bath something, it means daughter of. A lot of biblical names had some derivative from God's name. If you ever see E-L in a name, or J-E-H, Jehoiada, Jehoiakim, all these kings, or I-A-H, Jeremiah, Hezekiah, the I-A-H, those are all part of the name of God. And so people would give their son or daughter part of the name of God in their child's name. And it's significant. They would never, never name their child after God. They would just use a little piece of it. They wouldn't even utter the full name of God, the name that we sometimes use, Jehovah. They shortened that to just four letters, and now we know that name, Yahweh, and that's called the Tetragrammaton. It's a whole sermon in itself, the name of God or Jehovah. But they would use a piece of it. You know, we've been talking about a focus for next year, and Brother Al has a fantastic idea. We're going to go through 52 names of God next year. So every week in the bulletin, we'll have another name of God, a couple of Bible verses, a couple of questions. We saw the names on the video, didn't we? Jesus Christ is, and it's just some of the names. A name is especially significant when it's not the parents who give the name, but God. God named some of the people in the Bible. He changed the name of Abram to Abraham. He told some of the prophets, this is your name. He changed the name of Saul to Paul. He told Simon, you're not Simon, but Peter. So a name that God gives is significant above all, and all names have meaning, especially the name of Jesus. And I'd like to talk about the name of Jesus today. Not in the sense that we can just use that word or that name Jesus and it means something, but about the person Jesus, the Savior behind the name. And I'd like to read from Luke chapter 1 and also Matthew chapter 1. And in your pew Bible, Luke chapter 1 is page 51. And then Matthew chapter 1 is page 3. So let's open Luke 1, and we're going to read verses 26 through 38. And we're going to see how he was given his name, among other things. Luke 1, beginning in verse 26, reads, it says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And if you want to read her response to all this, go through the Magnificat, verses 47 through 55. Let's also then go to Matthew chapter 1 and see this same event or similar event from the perspective of a different apostle, Matthew. I'd like to read verses 18 through 25 from Matthew chapter 1. And the Bible reads, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. May God bless the reading of his word. I'd like to look at the significance and the meaning of the name Jesus itself. The significance and the meaning to Mary and Joseph. The significance and meaning to the world. The significance and meaning of the name Jesus to eternity and the heavens. And then the significance and name and meaning of the name Jesus to each one of us, to you, to me. Let's look first at the significance and meaning of the name Jesus to itself on a standalone basis. It's really interesting to do a Bible study on the etymology of this name, Jesus. The name Jesus is a Greek name. Jesus was given a Greek name. And it's a transliteration of a Hebrew name. The Hebrew name, Joshua. In Greek, we would say Iesus. Iesus. That's the Greek name of Jesus. And it's just the Greek equivalent of Joshua. In fact, in the New Testament, when it's relaying about the story of Joshua, the translators use the name Jesus in Acts for Joshua. So then if we want to understand the name Jesus, this Greek name, we need to go to the Hebrew name Joshua. And the Hebrew name Joshua is a combination of two other names. And remember how many names were given as part of the name of God and something else? Well, that's what Joshua is. The first part of Joshua or Jesus, J-E, is God, of God. So the name Jesus starts by meaning of God. The second part, which is S-U-S, or in the name of Joshua, Shua, means salvation, or being saved, or being set free. So the name Joshua means God is salvation. God sets free. So the name Jesus means God saves, or God, Jehovah, is salvation. That's the meaning of that name Jesus. Interestingly, it's not only assigned to Jesus. There were other Jesus in the Bible. And as I mentioned, there's many people who give that name to their children in this day. So that's the significance or the meaning of the name in terms of its etymology. Another significant thing about the name itself is who gave this name to Jesus. We read in Luke 1 that the angel said his name will be Jesus. If we look in Matthew, the angel says, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Did the angel name Jesus? An angel is a messenger of God, right? So God gave the name. And as I was studying this, and I looked in Philippians, you know, I was so excited and happy to read it here, because while we would know that the name came from God and that the angel didn't get to pick it out, it's really nice when the Bible says that too. So in Philippians 2, which we're going to go back to later on, it says, "God has highly exalted Christ and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow." The Apostle Paul says, every knee is going to bow at the name of Jesus. God gave him that name. It is above all names. So the significance and the meaning of the name is that God gave it, and it means God saves. Jehovah saves. What's the significance of this name to Mary and Joseph? You know, the angel first appeared to Mary, the angel Gabriel, and announced that she was going to conceive, the Holy Ghost would come upon her, and that she should give this name Jesus. And Mary kept these things in her heart. Then, in Matthew, we read about where Joseph now, the engaged fiancé to Mary, is thinking on things. That she was found with child, and he was trying to decide what to do. And the Bible says he was minded to put her away privately. He was thinking about a nice, quick, quiet divorce. Put away doesn't mean hidden away for a little while. It means divorce. And that's what he was thinking about. Maybe Mary shared with him, "But an angel appeared and told me this." And can you imagine an engaged couple where the woman is pregnant, and even if she says, "An angel appeared to me," imagine what's going through Joseph's mind and his heart about his betrothed. And so an angel, an unnamed angel, perhaps it was Gabriel, the same angel, maybe not, the Bible doesn't say, comes to him in a dream. There's five dreams in Matthew 1 and chapter 2. They're so important in the birth and early life of Christ. And in this dream, while Joseph is pondering, while he's debating, while he's thinking, "Should I divorce her? Can I do this quietly?" The angel comes to him. The angel says the same thing that was said to Mary: "Fear not." And we need to know that to Mary and Joseph, the name Jesus took away fear. The angel said, "Don't be afraid." And the angel explains the same thing, that she's pregnant and is of the Holy Ghost. And don't be afraid to take her to be your wife. And you're going to call his name Jesus. And Mary, if she didn't tell him before, she would say then, "That's what the angel told me. We have the name." You know, the name Jesus stopped the divorce. And if you want to stop a divorce in this day and age, we go to the name Jesus. We get back to Jesus Christ. When a Christian couple is having difficulty, it's because they're having difficulty with Jesus and nothing else. And we can find a way to patch up a marriage, but unless a marriage is founded upon Jesus Christ, it can be in trouble. And if your marriage is not the best, it's because your life is not right with the Lord. And if you get your life right with him, he will bless your marriage. Marriage is his idea. He wants everyone to be happy in marriage. And so the significance and the meaning of the name Jesus to Mary and Joseph was, don't be afraid. Stop the divorce. This child has a mission. His name will be Jesus. for he will save his people from their sins. He's the Savior. I don't think they really knew all that that meant. I don't think they could appreciate how he would be their Savior. But they did get told specifically what the name Jesus would mean. Let's look at the significance or the meaning of the name Jesus to the world. I'd like to go back to Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. And I think of Isaiah not as a prophecy almost as much as the gospel. I'm going to start calling it the gospel of Isaiah because there's such rich Christology in Isaiah. The chapter I'd like to look at briefly is chapter 43. We'll probably flip over to 45 as well. This is such a tremendous chapter. Isaiah 40 through 66 are known as the sermons of comfort. This is after Isaiah retired from his public ministry, and he just wrote this. And this is part, they've divided Isaiah into four songs, servant songs. And this is part of the first servant song of Isaiah. And the whole chapter 43 talks about the Lord as a redeemer. You can't read this without thinking about Jesus Christ. Verse 1, "But now saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not." Again, fear not. Don't be afraid. "For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." God is the redeemer. God saves. Jesus. Joshua. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." Every good Jewish scholar, every Hebrew from the youngest age would know God is our Redeemer. God is our Savior. And here in Isaiah 43, God says, "I'm your Redeemer. I'm your Savior. Don't be afraid." God's the Savior. And moving on then, we won't read it all, but if we go to verse 10, it says, "I am he. Before me there was no God form, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I'm the only God. I'm the only Savior." And all of this is speaking of Jesus Christ. This is all looking ahead to the Savior. There is no salvation besides Jesus Christ. What's the significance and meaning of the name Jesus? God saves. He is the Savior. And that's what the Bible says. Verse 25, "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins." You want to deal with sin? You want to be saved? We turn to God through Jesus Christ. That's what Isaiah prophesied 700 years before Jesus was born. That's why Jesus came. That's the meaning of the name Jesus. And then in chapter 45, if you want to flip over a couple of pages there, listen to what it says. Another, salvation only comes by the Lord, beginning in 21. "There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear." Does that sound familiar from Romans? Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess from Philippians 2. It's from here. It's God saying, "I'm the only God. I'm the only Savior. Every knee's going to bow." The meaning of the name Jesus to the world is salvation, God's salvation. And it's the only salvation available. What did Jesus say? "I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man, what? Cometh unto the Father, but by me." Was Jesus a great teacher? Certainly he was. Was he a prophet? Of course he was. Was he a great man? Of course he was. The world acknowledges that. Islam holds him up as that. But he goes beyond that. And he says, I am the only Savior. No man comes to the Father but by me. What does Acts 4:12 say? We should all have this one memorized. There is there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. There is no other name other than Jesus. Jesus is the only name given whereby we maybe could be saved. No. Where we could be saved in theory. No. Whereby we must be saved. The apostles were begging, they were urging, they were explaining, you must be saved and only through Jesus' name. And in Christ's stead, I beg you, be reconciled to God through the name of Jesus. Romans 10 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we know that verse. That's from Joel. Chapter 2, Joel prophesied of those days. It's an exact quote. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can't accept Jesus as just a great teacher. You have to dismiss his teachings because of some of the things he said. When he said, I'm the only way, you can't say, well, okay, that means this. He's claiming the authority of God. Listen to this in John chapter 8. I'm the light of the world, Jesus said. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. He said this. The Pharisees were not happy. You can read it for yourself in John chapter 8. And they get into basically almost an argument. Finally, Jesus says in 23, ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. What kind of a teacher can say, unless you believe in me, you're going to die in your sins? I'm from God. I'm from above. That's not the words of a teacher. That's the words of Jesus, the God-man, the one with the authority to say that. In the book of Hebrews, and I'm just picking out just a few verses out of literally hundreds that we could read and that would thrill our souls about the name of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 5. Speaking of Jesus, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. What does that mean? Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Did he have to learn how to obey? Is that what that says? Of course not. It means that he had to obey the death of the cross. And through the suffering of the cross, he was obedient. He was always obedient to God. This learning here refers to his voluntary submission to death and to servanthood. So, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, semicolon, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. There's a lot in there. He became the author of salvation. He is salvation. By his obedience to death on the cross, through the suffering, he has become salvation. And it says, unto all them that obey him. That's interesting, isn't it? You know, watered down milquetoast Christianity says, no, just believe in Jesus and you're saved. The Bible says here, he became the author of salvation unto all them that obey him. And true faith is not just believing, but it's obedience. Living faith obeys. And James chapter 2 gives three arguments as to why that's the case. Look it up sometime. Hebrews 7:25, a couple pages over, says, speaking of Jesus, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. I love that. He's able to save them to the uttermost. He can save anybody from anything at any time. He saves to the uttermost. He doesn't just barely save. It's not just by the skin of our teeth. It's not just slightly inside the door of heaven. He saves completely to the uttermost, totally changed. That's the significance of the name of Jesus. That's the meaning. Peter saw Christ walking on the water, and Peter, the impetuous, bold disciple, says, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come unto thee." And Jesus bid him to come. And Peter walked on the water. There's power, and Jesus has power. But what happened? The Bible says Peter saw the waves. He took his eyes off of Jesus, and he looked at his problems, and he started to sink. And when we take our eyes off of Jesus, when we look around at our problems, we begin to sink too, don't we? And what is Jesus? What did Peter say? "Lord, save me." He prayed, and it was quick, and he needed salvation. And without Christ, he was going to sink. The significance in the name, the meaning of the name of Jesus, is God saves. He saves the world. What was said this morning, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. That was awesome. I love how Thomas, he didn't know this, but he when he read those verses from John 10, as he was reading those verses this morning, I was in my Bible, just brushing up on a few things here, in this chapter, reading those verses. My eyes were on John 10, 14. And I was just saying, okay, don't forget it's John 10, 14. And he says, and I'd like to read John 10, 14. So it's like, it's wonderful. "I am the good shepherd," another one of these I am's, the eight I am's of John. "I know my sheep and am known of mine." He says, "I'm the door. I'm the door of the sheep." What do we use a door for? To go somewhere, to get through it. I'm the way to God. You must go through me. There's no other door. "And I'm the good shepherd. As the Father knoweth me, even I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again." Jesus, the Savior, "I'm going to lay down my life. I'm the way. I'm the sacrifice." That's the significance. That's the meaning of Jesus. So we've seen the significance of the name in and of itself. We've seen the significance to Mary and Joseph. Now we've seen it to the world, to the lost sinner. What about the significance to heaven and to eternity? Philippians chapter 2. We're also going to look at Ephesians 1. These famous verses, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of this man." Paul's saying, have this attitude, be like Jesus. He was God, but he took upon himself manhood, and he was a servant. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself." Be humble, Paul's saying, just like Christ who humbled himself and became obedient unto death. That's the explanation of he learned obedience by the things he suffered. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And what does the Bible say then? "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Those verses say God gave him the name, God has exalted the name, and every knee is going to bow. And we read in Isaiah 43 where God said, I swear that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. This is the fulfillment that in heaven, in the future, everyone will bow. Every tongue will confess at the name of Jesus. The rightful place of the name, the significance of his name is in heaven. His name will require all to bow. Some of us willingly, some of us joyfully, others by compulsion. But every knee will bow. Those lost for eternity in this real place called hell, where the Bible says there's the blackness of darkness forever, where the Bible says away from the presence of the Lord forever, where the Bible teaches that here on earth, God is in control, we can look around and see evil, and we can say, this world is evil, but we have to acknowledge God is in control, and he is restraining evil. What would our earth be like if God would remove himself? That's what hell is. God will be removed. The Bible says, away from the presence of the Lord forever. What is Satan going to be like when the chains are off? What is that going to be like? It's going to be horrible. Yet, everybody in hell will bow the knee. That's what the Bible says to Jesus Christ. That's an important name. In Ephesians 1, verses 15 through 23, Paul utters his first prayer in this epistle. He says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love to all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He says, whenever I think about you, I pray for you. When I remember how much you love, I pray for you. And then he gives the content of his prayer. Here's his prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. And he goes on to talk about that your eyes would be open, that you would understand things. And then he says, and all of this was done in Christ. And we're going to pick it up in verse 21. He says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named. He said Christ is far above any power, any principality. Christ is far above any name. That's the one that caught my eye this morning. Christ is above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. In this world, the name of Jesus is supreme. And in the world to come. And it says far above. That's the significance and the meaning of the name of Jesus Christ in eternity. So then let's close by me asking you, what is the significance of the name Jesus to you? What does it mean to you? Not as an incantation when you're in trouble, you can use that name. Not as some magic word or some charm. Who is Jesus to you? Is he your Savior? Do you have a personal relationship with him? Do you walk with him every day? Do you talk with him as you go? Can you say, fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature? That Sunday school song that we all sang says, beautiful Savior, Lord of the nations, Son of God and Son of man, glory and honor, praise, adoration, now and forevermore be thine. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us. The names of Jesus Christ are so wonderful because of who he is and what he's done. This is the season where we can lift up his name, where the music honors him. But the real significance of the name of Jesus should be that he is our Lord and our personal Savior. If that's not the case, then please do something about that quick. There, speak to any one of us. Do it today. If you are a Christian and you've backslidden, come back to the name of Jesus. Come back to his power to save to the uttermost. Come back to the point where you can sing these songs from the bottom of your heart with great joy. I'd like to ask the choir to come up now to sing three songs.
Follow. Amen.